Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the dads present in this theater room. Can I ask the fathers to please stand and let's give them a big round of applause to express our appreciation for these dads. Okay, dads, keep standing so I can pray for you. Well, during the Mother's Day, there were some people who passed out flowers, but today there's none. So you know who is more appreciated. Anyways, will you join me as we pray for our dads today? Father, we thank you for these dads who are standing among us today. Lord, we thank you for their lives. We thank you that you have called them to be our provider, our protector. Thank you that they've been our support as we kids or wives walk this life here on earth. Father, I pray for these fathers that you will continue to bless them, bless the works of their hands as they provide for their families. Also, will you grant them vision, your vision, to be the spiritual leaders of their homes. And I pray that you will speak to each one of us fathers this morning. And also my prayer that you will speak to the wives, to our spouses, as well to our children. Lord, we thank you again. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may sit down, dads. You know, although there's really no Father's Day in the Bible, we take this occasion to honor our dads. At the same time, it is also a good opportunity to remind our dads about the vital role that they play in our homes, because the choices that they make in life affect the future of their children. Now, the question is just how important is the role of fatherhood. Just how important is the role of fatherhood? Let me show you the statistics of the impact of fatherless homes. Now, this will shock you. Now, listen to this. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 89% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 85% of youths in jail come from fatherless homes. 75% of young patients seeking substance abuse rehabilitation or treatment come from fatherless homes. And 71% of children who do not finish high school or school come from fatherless homes. Now, lastly, those who come from fatherless homes are 400% more likely to live in poverty compared to those living or to those children living with their parents. Now, fathers, do you now see how important your role is in preventing the cycle of poverty that has perpetuated so many fatherless homes? There was a study made by the, you won't believe this, by the Swiss government. This was in 1994 and published in 2000, on how faith is transmitted from one generation to another. Now, according to this research, it is the religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance or absence of from church of the children. Now, let me show you their findings. So, if you look at this chart, you'd notice that if mom and dad are regular attenders in Sunday services, 33% of their children would end up becoming regular worshipers. Now, if only mom comes regularly and dad irregularly, that, you know, it's only 3%. If it's only mom, yes, dad, no, not at all, only 2% of their children will end up continuing will end up becoming regular worshipers. But look at the last one, the last table. If mom does not go, but dad goes regularly, 44% of their children end up as becoming worshipers. Now, what these statistics show is that no matter how religious mom is in attending the church services, if daddy does not go to church, only 2% of the children will become regular worshipers. Okay? Now, but if dad attends church regularly and mom does not, 44% of their children end up becoming regular worshipers. Are you following? One of the reasons suggested in this study is that it is from the mothers that children learn about domestic life, while it is from the dads that children take the cue and develop their worldview. Okay? So dads, you play a vital role in the shaping of your children's faith and in their future social and economic well-being. That is why the scriptures teaches us that we dads must be intentional dads. So our topic this morning is very simple, okay? Be an intentional dad. Everybody, please say that with me. Be an intentional dad. Now, some of you here are singles. Now, if you're a single guy, this message applies to you also, because someday, in God's appointed time, you might be led, or you might be led to one of our single ladies here in marriage and have children. So, by the way, ladies, be open for God's surprises. You never know what's coming. Okay? You'll probably end up someday saying, "Ay, Lord, all these months, siya pala." Well, of course, that's better, right, than, "Ay, Lord, all these decades, siya pala." Now, if you are a single lady, the message also applies to you. How? Well, it will help you decide whom to marry. If you are a single lady, this message will help you decide whom to marry. I'm sure some of you are thinking, "Oh, yeah, right, Pastor Benji, but there is no one to choose from because there are only a very handful of single men in our church." Well, I know that. In fact, one of you have approached me and said, "Pastor Benji, where are the godly men in our congregation?" Well, I'll tell you. Some of them are here, but many of them are out there. All right? The problem is they have not heard the gospel yet, and they have not yet been discipled. So if we all obey the Great Commission, they will all be here. And it would be crazy, like our real estate 2 years ago. Single ladies, you will be receiving multiple offers. Amen to that? Amen. So go and make disciples. And we can have Pastor Sherwin and Dennis conduct a classroom-type premarital counseling, you know, which CCF Maine does because of the sheer volume of people getting married in Manila. Now, seriously now, if you're single or if you're married with no children, remember that you have been called to make disciples. If we obey, we become what? Spiritual fathers, right? We become spiritual fathers to those whom we lead to Jesus and nurture them in their faith. So the principles in this message are basically discipleship principles. So it applies to us all, whether you are a parent, you're single, you're married, or you're a teenager. Now, since it's Father's Day, of course, the spotlight will be on dads. So dads, what's our topic this morning? Say it with me. Be an intentional dad. Okay? Let's now read our passage, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, and verses 20 to 23, which actually teaches intentional parenting. I know we've dealt with this passage before, but God's word is like a diamond. You know, it has so many facets, and there's always something new that we can learn from it. Let me read, starting with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. Verse 23, and he brought us out from there, and he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. Now listen, church. Intentionality is very, very clear in this passage. You know, the word intentional means to pursue with purpose. It involves being deliberate. To be intentional is to set your mind or your heart and mind to something. Now listen, dads, and listen, everyone. There are three areas where we should be intentional in our fatherhood or in our mentorship, for those of you who are not dads. To be intentional dads, we must, number one, love God with all our being by intentionally nurturing our relationship with Him. Number two, model obedience to our children and invest time to teach God's word to them. And third, share our stories of God's goodness and faithfulness to our kids. So let's begin with the first one. Love, dads, love God with all your being by intentionally nurturing your relationship with Him. You know, we are creatures who were made to worship. In Deuteronomy, the Israelites were about to enter the promised land, which is overflowing with milk and honey. They were to take over cities and houses they did not build, vineyards and fruit-bearing trees that they did not plant. Now you see that in verses 10 to 14. It's a big jump from being slaves in Egypt where they came from. So there is great danger that they will forget God. And worse, that they will turn to the idols of the inhabitants of that land. Now, it was important for God's people to know that there is only one true God. You hear that? There is only one true God, not the idols that the inhabitants of the land worship. There's only one. And they, the Israelites, must worship Him and love Him only and no other. That is why Moses teaches them the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, every Jew knows this. Now, Moses tells them not only that there is only one true God and all the rest are worthless idols, but also that they must love him wholeheartedly. As it says in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Do you know, dads, what wholeheartedly means? It means to love him 100%. Let me explain. Dads, imagine that your wife one day sets you aside and tells you this, honey, my ex-boyfriend connected with me through Facebook. Now, I did not know that he is now living in Vancouver. He was asking me if we can have coffee just once a month. I told him that I'm already married. And he said it's okay. And he respects that. And he promised that we will just be friends for old time's sake. Honey, are you okay if I see him just once a month? You have me 99%, and I will just give him 1% to this old friend for old time's sake. Now listen, husbands. Are you okay with that? Of course not. You will be bothered because you expect 100% of your wife's love and devotion, right? Not 99%, right? Similarly, our love for the Lord must be 100%, not 99%. Now, actually, the reality is that we can only have one master, only one Lord. There is no such thing as 50-50. You're following me? There's no such thing as 50-50 or even 99% and 1%. Our Lord Jesus had, in fact, taught his disciples that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, Matthew 6:24. Now, question is, how can you tell whom we are really serving, loving and serving? Now, one measure of it is our priorities in terms of where we devote our time and treasures. For example, we parents say that we love our family. Are you with me? Okay, we say we love our families. But if we do not really spend time with our kids and our wives, then we really don't love them as much as we think we do. We think we do, but we really don't. If you say that you love Jesus, but do not really spend time talking with Jesus, listening to him by reading the Bible and obeying what he says, then we do not really love Jesus as much as we think we do. Another measurement is how we spend the resources that God entrusted to us. The Bible says that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Matthew 6:21. Where you put your resources shows your priorities. If we say that God's work in the Lower Mainland is very important to us, but if we do not cheerfully invest our time and our resources in God's work, for example, through CCF or through the other churches or through other mission work, then our hearts are not really there. Are you following? Now, there is the third measurement. There's the third. What dominates your conversations with your spouse and children? The Bible says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Luke chapter 6, 45. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The subject that dominates our conversations in our homes is actually indicative of what is in our hearts. Dads, just imagine if our children see us meeting God in prayer, reading His word in the morning or in the evening before we go to sleep. Just imagine if they witness our excitement and joy to share with them what we have learned or what we have been learning from our study in our devotions and our stories of God, how God answered our prayers. Just imagine how it would impact them if they see us genuinely love people and give generously of our time, talents, and resources to God's work with delight, with joy. Just imagine how it would impact our children to see you, dads, grow in love for mommy and in nurturing her and all the rest of his children in humility, in grace, and patience. Now listen, I guarantee this. If your children see all of this, they will come to this conclusion that what daddy has is not a religion. That what daddy has is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, daddy is transforming day by day. Are you following? You see, this is not an overnight thing. It doesn't happen overnight. You come to Jesus and you're changed the following day. No, it doesn't work that way. It takes time. It takes years. But the question here that I want to ask you, dads, is how are you transforming? Are you transforming in love, in grace, in humility, in patience? I cannot overemphasize the importance of your pursuit of Jesus and loving Him. Now, J.C. Ryle says, if you love a person, you will enjoy thinking about him, hearing about him, reading about him, like his friends, not want to hear others speak against or do something to offend him, desire to please him, long to talk to him, long to be with him. So, dads, what is our first point? Love God with all your being by intentionally pursuing your relationship with Him. Let's move on to the second point. Second point is that as you model obedience, be intentional in investing time to teach God's word to your children. Let me repeat that. As you model obedience, be intentional in investing time to teach God's word to your children. Now let's look at our passage in verses 6 to 7. Moses wrote, and these things that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall what? Teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Listen, church, living out what the Bible says is vital. That is what Moses meant when he said in verse 6 that these words are to be in your hearts. Do you get that, dads? God's word is not just to be in our minds, but in our hearts. And to be in our hearts, that means we are living it out. We are practicing what we are learning. We're putting it into practice. And we keep His words in our hearts. We obey His commands because we love Him. As our Lord taught His disciples in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Let me repeat that. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. There are some of us who have God's word in our minds for such a long time, but not in our hearts. We attend Bible studies. We listen to messages, but we fail to apply what the Bible teaches. I know someone. Don't worry, she doesn't attend our church. I know someone who wants to join Bible studies that are really deep. You see that? Malalim. So malalim. So malalim yung tinuturo. She desires to go deep in knowing God's word. Now, listen, nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think it's commendable. But I am not sure if this person even realizes that she does not recognize her husband's leadership. So there is a disconnect somewhere. You want more complex truths, but you are avoiding to obey more obvious commands of the Bible, like submission to your husband or loving your wife. To those of us who have been attending Bible studies for many years and decades, but are not really bearing fruit in terms of making disciples and transformation through obedience, here's my advice. Step back and start applying those obvious commands that you have learned all these years. Are you with me? Now, as we model obedience to God's word to our children, simultaneously, we intentionally teach God's word to our children. Let me repeat that. As we are modeling obedience, we must simultaneously teach God's word intentionally to our children. Verse 7, it says, you shall teach them what? Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Listen, Moses describes here how teaching is supposed to take place. Dads, this is your calling to teach your children. Teaching must be constant and continuous, not when it is convenient or we are in the teaching mood. You have those times, right? You're excited to teach, and then you teach, and then 6 months later, you're excited again. No, it doesn't work that way. Teaching is supposed to take place while you are in the home and outside the home. Now, how does this look like in our present realities? Now, I know life in North America is very busy, right? You agree? So how does this look like? I shared with you before that we can do this. We can actually do this by engaging our children in spiritual conversations. You do this in the ordinary rhythms of life, like when you do your household chores, when you do gardening together, when you're cooking, when you're folding clothes together. You engage them in spiritual conversations, even when you're resting from a basketball game or driving. You see that part? When you walk, at the time when they travel, they either ride a donkey or they walk. So here in our context, you teach them while you drive. So do this in the ordinary rhythms of life. Now, watch out also for those times which our senior pastor Peter calls magic moments. Have you heard of that? Those magic moments? Pastor Peter describes magic moments as those times when you are together with a child and suddenly he or she wants to talk. It is when they invite you to enter their private inner life and let you know their deepest thoughts and personal concerns and ask you life-changing questions. Those are magic moments. So watch out for those magic moments because they do not always happen. And of course, will hardly happen unless you spend time. Are you following? So use those opportunities to engage your children. Now, the same is true in discipleship. You know, when you are with your guy, the one you're discipling, don't limit yourself, you know, to discuss the Bible only when it's Wednesday night. You have those, you know, you have those eating out. You know, for example, you go out, you have a date. Leonard and Beth, you, the four of us with Winnie, let's go out on a date. So, you know, you eat, you enjoy, but at the same time, you engage Beth and Leonard in some spiritual conversation. All right? It's supposed to happen in the ordinary rhythms of life. When our kids were young, we used to have regular family devotions. Recently, we've decided to do this again. You know, fathers, it doesn't have to be a worship service, you know, like we do here on Sundays. Dads, make it simple and short, for favor. Make it simple and short. This is my practical suggestion. First, pick a time that works best for everyone, all right? In our case, we do this right after meals because that is the time when everyone is present. We do this right after our meals. Second, don't make it long, all right? You can just pick a passage or a few verses or a chapter and read it aloud. Now, let the verses just simmer in the minds of your kids and your wife. You know, and make sure no one is tinkering with his tablet or his cell phone. Third, you know, after reading the Bible, lead your family in prayer. Maybe you can ask them, you know, ask his kid, how can daddy pray for you? And pray for that child. Say a blessing for each child. Make this a regular part of your family routine. And I assure you, if you do this consistently for several weeks, your wife and your kids will feel that something is missing if you stop doing it. So dads, be intentional in teaching God's word to your children by doing regular family devotions and watching out for those magic moments when you are with your child. Are we good so far? Now, teaching dads involves more than just passing information to your children. Let me repeat that. Teaching involves more than just passing information to your children. The most vital part of teaching, in my view, is modeling. To be intentional in modeling what you teach. To be effective. Last Friday, for example, part of our scripture reading in our family devotion, just this Friday, was Colossians 3, 18 to 21. It says, wives, I did not do this intentionally, okay? We were just following the series, okay? So it's Father's Day, it's perfect. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting for in the Lord. If you look at Ephesians, it says, wives, submit your husbands as unto the Lord. The submission here is unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives. and do not be harsh with them. So this is our scripture reading. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's good the kids are here. Kids, are you listening to me? Huh? Are you listening? Okay. Good. Children, obey your parents in everything. Not just in something. In what? Everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. God is pleased when God sees this. Fathers, oh man, back to the fathers. Verse 21, do not provoke your children. Ah, how many of us are guilty of this? Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, listen, this passage is very clear. You do not need a seminary degree to teach this. Winnie, as my wife, is supposed to submit to me as her husband. I am to love her and be gentle with her. My kids are to obey me and Winnie in everything because we are the parents. And lastly, I, as the dad, should be careful that I do not provoke my children or exasperate them to cause discouragement. Now, after reading this passage, I close our time with a prayer. And I ask the Lord, listen, I ask the Lord to empower me to love my wife, to empower Winnie to submit to me, to empower our children to obey us in everything because this pleases the Lord. I ask the Lord in prayer for grace that I will not exasperate my children or provoke them to anger. Now listen, as soon as we finished our devotion, I knew that they understood, my children understood what this passage says. But listen, passing on this information to them is just the beginning of teaching. How did I do this? I did this intentionally by leading our devotions, right? But it is vital that my kids see me live out what this passage says. This means I must constantly love Winnie. That means constantly nurture my children in a manner that will not exasperate them. This means I have to be careful not to be so makulit, to be quick to listen, to be slow to speak. You know, dad, sometimes we just, I'm like that. To seek to understand. Okay, before you say this, you seek to understand your child or your wife and be gracious in my responses to my wife and to my children. Are you following? I didn't hear amen to that. Now, here's a short plug-in for the wives. Mga misis. Okay, we have people who don't speak Tagalog. That means to our wives. Mga misis. Please encourage and support your husbands as they take on the spiritual leadership at home. You see, the problem in some homes is that the wives have taken over the leadership role, which is not the biblical design. If you are one of these women, you know, you step back and encourage your husband to lead. How do you support? How do you encourage your husband? Let me illustrate. For example, because your husband got so inspired by this sermon, okay. As you know, this week, Monday, he says with confidence, says, guys, I would like to have us to have a family devotion twice a week, Wednesday and Friday, right after dinner for 10 minutes. He says this, you know. You're in the table, Monday, you're having dinner, and your daddy says this. Now, Mrs., wife, what do you do? Do not roll your eyes. And say, ay nako, ganyan ang daddy mo. Magaling lang sa simula, pero hindi yan tatagal. Are you following? No, don't say that. It's a put down. And it's worse, it's being disrespectful to your husband, especially in front of your kids. Are you following? Support your husband. How? All right, so daddy said that. How do you support your husband? Say something like kids. Hey kids, you heard daddy. Okay? So make sure on Wednesday and Friday you finish your schoolwork before dinner because dad will lead us in a devotion. See that? Oh, so daddy looks at mom and says, wow, I love that. Come the devotion time, wives, be consistent in supporting your husband. Please, don't say comments like, and your husband is already reading, and you say, Dad, ang boring mo namang magbasa. Ako na nga magbasa niyan. You know, or Dad, ang bagal mo naman. You know, avoid making comments like that. That will put down your husband. You have to encourage your husband. In fact, I'll even put this even further. Let's say you did your devotion. You encourage your husband. When you go to sleep, you know, after that devotion, say, that, you know, honey, that was really good. And I hope we can, you know, keep this up. Are you following? Encourage your husbands. Love and respect your husbands. Are we communicating, wives? All right. Medyo mahina. I know we have dads here who have young children, you know, infants or even toddlers. The question is, you know, I understand you are not ready for a family devotion, right? You can't read a devotion to a, let's say, a two-year-old or one-year-old. Now, does that mean that you have no responsibility as a father until they're older? If you read two chapters after chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, you will come across Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, which says, so know in your heart that just as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. I know that the context here is about the Israelites, you know, really being loved by God, because he disciplines his people. But the same applies to us fathers. If we truly love our children, we must be willing to discipline. So it is not just in teaching, but the discipline of our children falls heavily on us fathers. It is part of our leadership role. Winnie and I were parents to 5 children. 5. Once upon a time. We took parenting very seriously. Now, one of the passages that I took to heart when I was a very young father, I took this to heart, not just here in the mind, but heart, is the matter of discipline of our children. You see, I learned this principle in the Bible, spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Again, you don't need a seminary degree. You don't need to go to Regent to understand what this means. If I refuse to discipline any one of our 5 children who were unruly when they were young, that child will get used to getting his or her own way, and he or she will become a spoiled brat. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, so the Bible explained this. Why? Why do we discipline? Because folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. You see, understand this very well, young parent, young dad. All children are born sinful. Romans 5, 12 to 19. Like all of us. None of us were born with natural goodness. The self-centeredness of a small child is very evident even when he is still very young. So, to our young fathers, my question to you this morning on this Father's Day is that have you put in your heart the Word of God on this subject of discipline? Or is it just in your mind? Are we intentionally obeying the Bible for the sake of our children? Do we truly love our children? Listen, Hebrews 2:6, it says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." Dads, how are you doing in this area? Listen, this is the role that the dads take a primary role in this. If you listen carefully, dads, young fathers, if you do not instill discipline in your young children, you might not be able to get them to sit in your family devotions when they're older, say 7 and above. It'll be too late. So, let me repeat. God designed the father to be the spiritual leader of the home. We see this both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For instance, in Psalm 78, which deals with the home and the vital role of parents, especially the fathers, the psalmist emphasizes the importance of passing on God's truth to the children through the parents, particularly the fathers. Let me read to you Psalm 78, verses 5 to 6. It says, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded for our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know him." So to whom was this responsibility given, according to this passage? To the fathers. So listen, dads, we are to take the lead in shepherding the hearts of our kids. We cannot simply delegate this to our wives. We cannot delegate this even to our Sunday school teachers. Are we communicating? Okay. Now let me go to my third and last point. The third point is be intentional in sharing your stories of God's goodness and faithfulness. Okay. You read this in verses 20 to 23. Verse 20, "When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, 'We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to our forefathers," or give to our fathers. Now, fathers, listen. There's something here that you need to pay attention. What does verse 20 say? Can you read that? Verse 20. Okay. "When your son asks you in time to come." Let me zero in on that. What you notice in this verse is that this verse indicates a child who is interested in spiritual things. He asks, "Listen, dads, do you find your children asking you about faith and God? Do they show some interests in what you believe in?" If not, ask yourself why. Why do you think they do not seem to show any interest on spiritual things. I was so encouraged to hear during the conference at Alberta a statement by Pastor Peter, or I think Pastor Peter or Diona, who said something like, it is okay if your child asks you or tells you that he is struggling with some doubts. The fact that he opens up is a very good sign. But the child who never, you know, have nothing, you know, you meet, he does away with his own stuff. You have to ask parents the question, what's going on? Why? In our text, Moses tells the Israelites that if their children, would obey God's word, Moses tells the Israelites that they were to teach their children about the goodness of God in bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land. This is more of a storytelling. You tell your stories of God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's redemptive work in your life. During my study, I came across this article online where a clinical psychologist, you know, I'm very careful to, I was not even sure I should include it in the slides, but decided to do that. This is a secular clinical psychologist who was quoted about the impact of family storytelling on young children. Let me read. Clinical psychologist Linda Blair said, in those early years, children are working on establishing and trying to understand their identities. Stories about themselves and their families help them feel safe, help them belong and clarify who they are. And the article further says, as a parent, all you need, listen to this. This is relevant to this message. As a parent, all you need is time. See that? Time and willingness to recall these stories. Not only will the content of your stories enable your child to feel grounded and confident, but the sheer act of sitting close together, laughing and talking will deepen your bond with your child. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are part of God's story that we read about in the Bible. Your identity, you know, who you are in Jesus, has its source in the Bible. So you build the confidence of your children, not just on your story about how God delivered you from darkness into the light, how He changed your life when you surrendered your life to Jesus, how He is working to transform your life through trials and testings, but more importantly, on God's word itself. So their grounding is rock solid. It is based on Scripture. Do this intentionally and regularly, and you will deepen your bond with your child as you sit close together, laugh and talk and cry together as you engage them in the biblical account. Listen, you know, some of my fun times, really, that I really laugh aloud is when my children crack funny comments or jokes during or after our family devotions or our family spiritual conversations. We don't wear long faces when we are having the family devotions. We are happy. And there's nothing unspiritual if you're having a good time in your D group discussions. You're laughing. Right? Right? Baka naman you are so serious in your family devotions, like, no, you know, that is, you are to lead, you know, be genuine, be open, engage them, be yourself. So let me summarize what we have learned this morning. Dads, the three things. Fathers, daddies here, love God with all your being, by intentionally nurturing your relationship with Him as you model obedience. Okay. Love God with all your being by intentionally nurturing your relationship with Him. That's the number one. Number two, as you model obedience, be intentional in teaching them God's word to your children. That's the second. Okay? The second involves what? You doing regular family devotions and looking for those magic moments. Third is share to them stories of God's love and faithfulness in your life. Let me close with some of my reflections on this passage. Fathers, being an intentional dad is like playing golf. How many of you play golf here? Oh, just a few. It's like playing golf. The object of the game is to get your golf ball from the teeing ground into the hole on the putting green, all right, with the fewest strokes, all right? You start at the tee box and you end at the putting green where the hole is. You see, a golfer calculates the distance. So you calculate how many yards. You consider if there's crosswind, okay? You consider. I didn't know this. You know, one time I went playing golf with my in-laws, and my Brian was doing this. He grabs some grass, and he throws it on the air. I thought, what is he doing? And it was really checking the crosswind. Are you following? Listen, the intentionality of this. You calculate, you avoid the hazards. You look for the hazard. There's a bunker here. There's water on the right or left. He tries his best to get his golf into the putting green. Every stroke, dads, require being deliberate and purposeful. Fatherhood is like that. You must be intentional. You cannot afford to leave parenting to chance. Let me repeat that. You cannot afford to leave parenting to chance. Why? Life is full of hazards, just like in a golf course. There are bunkers everywhere. There's crosswinds. There are many things in life that is beyond your control. What is within your control is your decision to be an intentional dad. Now, some of us may have come from families whose fathers may have fallen short in leading us spiritually, or worse, were irresponsible. They've hurt us. They've hurt you. Well, let me share with you something. You cannot change your past, nor your ancestors. But you can influence your descendants. You cannot change your past, nor your ancestors, but you can influence your descendants. My advice as we close is this. Don't be bitter. Learn to forgive your dads. If your dad has done you wrong, if they have not been faithful, if they have hurt you, let go of the past. And starting today, dads, you must assume responsibility, because you can influence the future. You cannot change your past. So stop looking at the past and learn from the past and move forward. And to all the fathers present in this room, and to those who will be listening to this audio recording, my advice to all of us is, let's begin today to become better fathers by becoming intentional dads. Intentional, loving God and nurturing our relationship with Him intentionally. Modeling obedience and teaching the word of Christ to our children. And intentional in sharing our stories about the goodness of God in our lives. Amen.